You have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. This morning, we want to speak to you concerning real life. And all of us, you know, in the day of digital cameras, all of us certainly take a lot of pictures, and I know we've got albums all over our house, and I know that I haven't looked at all the pictures, but we take pictures in order to remember certain people and certain events. There used to be a popular program on television called Candid Camera. How many of you remember that? Some of you older ones I know will. The producer of that show would hide cameras in all sorts of unexpected places. He would set up all kinds of unusual situations, then he would catch folks in their unguarded moments. Now, the camera would capture the situation for exactly what it was without any pretense. I'm sure had the individuals involved known that a camera was on, there would be no doubt that they would have reacted quite differently. And so it is in ordinary, everyday life. Some of the best photographs that we take of our children and adults are those that are taken during unguarded moments. Such photographs are not posed, but they're real life snapshots. With that thought in mind, I want us to look at the message for this morning. I have heard, and I know you have as well, that when all is said and done, that is, when we all stand before God in judgment, that snapshots of our lives will be put on a large screen displayed for all to see. The secret things and the hidden things that we did in the dark will be brought to light. Hidden no longer. The good snapshots commend us, the bad ones condemn us. Now, the Bible doesn't say that it will happen just that way, but it does say nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known. Here's the point. When all is said and done, what will the snapshots of your life reveal about the real you? Would there be any photos in your repertoire that you would really not want to be made public? And also, what will these snapshots reveal about the progress that you've made in your Christian life and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you really forsake all and follow after Him? Did you serve Him faithfully, and were you unashamed to confess Him before men as being your Lord and your Savior? To illustrate the point of the message this morning, I want to focus in on the life of the Apostle Peter. The Bible gives us some unguarded and unposed snapshots of his life. And I want to consider a few with you this morning, and I think it will help us to see ourselves as the Lord sees us. The first snapshot shows Peter with his eyes on the Lord. Now, Peter had a brother by the name of Andrew. And if you're going to have a brother, this is the kind of brother you'd like to have. Peter's brother Andrew had become a disciple of John the Baptist, and he spent as much time as he could spare from the family business in order to spend time with John. He spent as much as he could learning how to prepare people for the coming of the Christ. And then it happened one day, Andrew burst into their Galilean home with the good news, and I can hear him now cry out, "Simon, Simon, where are you? Simon, we have found him. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. I have met him, Simon, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world." Andrew insisted that Peter come and see and meet Jesus. And that day, Peter's life was changed. Jesus said to him, "Simon, I'm going to call you Peter. I'm going to call you a stone because there's a rock-like quality that you have that I can use in ministry." That's our first snapshot of Peter. He had his eye on the Lord. Or that it could be said of each of us, as it was said of Peter that day, that we one day met the Lord Jesus Christ and we took him as our own personal Savior. That is, he changed our lives and we fastened our eyes on Jesus and we've kept him in focus from that point on. The second snapshot shows Peter with his mind on the storm. It had been an exciting day. Jesus had preached to an enormous crowd, and he had crowned the day by feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, Jesus told his disciple after they were finished to get into a boat, row across the lake where he would join them later. He was going to stay behind and spend some time in prayer. As they rowed across the lake, we can probably hear old Peter saying, "Fellas, I don't know about you, but I don't like the looks of those clouds up there. It looks like we're in for a storm." And they all knew how dangerous it could be on that particular lake. Sure enough, the winds began to blow and howl, and the waves began to heave, and that boat was tossed to and fro, and the disciples struggled against what now was a terrible tempest, bringing with it what seemed to be certain and sure death. Then one of the disciples saw it. There was a shape walking on the water toward them, and they were terrified. And they cried out, "It's a spirit or it's a ghost." Peter was petrified. And then they heard that much beloved voice that they recognized. And he cries out, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, I want you to bid me to come." And Jesus just said, "Come." And so I see him stepping out of the boat, putting one foot on the water, and then he sticks the other one out. Maybe some of the guys were helping him. But when he put his feet on the waves and he found that it was stable, I can see him taking one step and another step and another step. He had his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, he began to hear that wind howl. All of a sudden, he began to notice the waves. And he took his eyes off the Lord, and you know the story, he began to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." What a picture. The Lord reached out and picked him up and helped him into the boat. We all know what Peter learned that day. He learned that we must always keep our eye not on the storm, not on the winds and the waves, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. All too often, we look at the waves and listen to the wind. We focus on the adverse circumstances that are all around us when we ought to be looking to the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We ought never to get our eyes off of him. The third snapshot shows Peter with his foot in his mouth. In this particular snapshot, we find Peter making one of his most spectacular mistakes. The Lord asked his disciples in Matthew 16, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they replied, "Some say that you're Jeremiah, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead, or one of the prophets." Jesus continued on, but he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter's quick reply was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended Peter for his confession of faith by saying, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now Jesus continued, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now I'm sure at this point that Peter's heart began to swell with pride. Satan got a hold of him in an instant, because very few folks indeed can absorb a large dose of praise. Now Jesus began to talk to his disciples about his impending betrayal, his coming crucifixion, his death, his burial, and resurrection. But all Peter heard was that ominous word, crucifixion. And he blurted out, "Be it far from thee, Lord." And Jesus replied to Peter, "Get thee hence behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter had put his foot big time into his mouth. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? Like Peter, I think all of us have. We have confessed him to be the Christ, the Lord of our life. And then like Peter, we've turned around and told him what he needs to do. And we sometimes forget that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and that he is all powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is the great God of heaven. He needs not our help. But sometimes we try to reverse the roles. We put our foot in our mouth when we confess him to be the Christ, and then we turn around and oppose or refute his plans and his will for our life. I'm here to tell you that all of us understand this morning the Word of God. You that are here today, you're not ignorant of the Scriptures. You know what God wants you to do. Anytime we don't do what God says, then it's me and it's you taking the throne room of our life and deciding what's best for us and not giving any regard to God. And brother, that's a sin. The fourth snapshot shows Peter with tears in his eyes. The shadow of the cross was looming, and the Lord must have looked sadly at his somber disciples. And he refers to a prophecy of Zechariah that says, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus said to the 12, "All of you shall be offended of me this night." Peter immediately bristled, "Lord, not me. Oh, I know the others may back up on you, but Lord, not me. The others may be offended, but not me." Jesus responded by saying, "Now listen, Peter. Listen for the crowing of the cock. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And that's exactly what happened. Shortly afterward, as the Jews bullied and beat Jesus, Peter warmed his hand by the fire. Some have said that it was the devil's fire, but three times in that situation, we find him denying his Lord, and the last time with oaths and curses. And when the cock began to crow at that very moment, Peter turned around and looked at Jesus, and he saw that Jesus was looking at him. And I know that their eyes locked together. And I know that Peter, as he looked into the eyes of the Lord, he didn't see an attitude that says, "Well, I told you so, Peter." But he saw a heart of compassion, an eye of compassion. Oh, I'm here to tell you this morning that Peter turned from that event as he saw his wounded Lord, and he ran out of the place where that they were, and he began to cry, and he wept bitterly. Never had Peter experienced a darker night in his life. He was so ashamed. He was so sorry, so full of repentance and remorse. And had it not been for the Lord's kind and compassionate look, there's no telling what Peter might have done. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But," he said, "I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." I'm sure it was that prayer that helped Peter on the path of sanity during the next days and the countless nights that followed. Oh, this snapshot of Peter shows Peter with tears in his eyes as a result of a broken heart. The psalmist said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." I'm here to tell you this morning that if a person is ever to come to the Lord for salvation, they must have a broken heart. They must have a spirit that is humble before Almighty God, that admits to the Lord, "Lord, I am a sinner. I am sorry that I've sinned." And there's nothing wrong with shedding some tears of remorse and repentance. You don't have to do that. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to see somebody with a broken heart coming to the Lord and say, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." I think sometimes today that there are too many dry eyes in church. People don't seem to have any tears anymore. There's no brokenness anymore. Maybe that's one reason we don't have revival like we used to in days gone by. The final snapshot shows Peter with his boat on the lake. The last snapshot of Peter was right before the crucifixion. This is right after the resurrection. Jesus had said that he would meet Peter and the other disciples in Galilee. So off to Galilee they went. Now back at home, they were in familiar surroundings of the days of boyhood and their business dealings. Peter no doubt began to feel like himself once again. Peter was essentially a doer. He was not a dreamer like John. Suddenly Peter came to a decision. He said, "Fellas, I'm going to go fishing." Whether or not he was figuring on starting up his fishing business, I don't know. But when the others found out about Peter's plans and that he was going to go fishing, he said, "Peter, we want to go with you." And so there was probably a half a dozen that went to the lake to go fishing. They fished all night long. Unlike the old days, they caught nothing. Wouldn't you hate to go and fish all night long? Now, they had nets. They had seines. And so they were fishing the commercial way, not with hook and rod and reel. But they'd fished all night long. They didn't catch anything, and they must have been frustrated. They must have been tired. They hadn't caught one single fish. And as dawn broke, suddenly they looked out on the shore, and they saw a stranger. And that stranger hollered out, "Have you caught anything?" And they hollered back, No! We haven't caught a thing. That's the way I fish, you know. I can fish all night long, all day long, and not catch a fish. Then the stranger said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine just what these guys were thinking. We fished all night long. We'd thrown the nets on the left side. We'd thrown the nets on the right side. We'd thrown them in the back. We'd thrown them in the front. We haven't caught any fish. And he tells us, throw the nets off on the right side. But you know, when they went ahead and did what the stranger told them to do, guess what? They had a net full of fish. These were big fish. They were not just little fish. They were big fish, and there were 153 of them. They caught the fish, and they had a hard time getting them back to the shore. It was at this moment that John recognized Jesus, and he said, it is the Lord. Now, what do you think old Peter did? You know, he was impulsive, impetuous, and he jumped out of the boat and he began to swim and make his way to shore. He got to the shore and he recognized that, yes, it was the Lord. And when he got there, Jesus had breakfast ready. Now, he had fish. I'm convinced he had fish. Where'd he get them? He's Lord. That's enough said, isn't it? He's Lord. So he had the fish. He had it all cooked. Breakfast was ready. It was prepared by the risen Lord. And as the disciples sat around the fire sharing the breakfast meal, Jesus turned to Peter again and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish, this fast business that you used to be engaged in? And he asked him three times. I'm convinced the reason he asked him three times was he denied the Lord three times. Three times he said, I don't know him. Finally, he began to curse and swear, I don't know him. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus spoke of an agape type love, a love that's all compelling, all embracing, a all conquering love which suffers long and is kind. But Peter was talking about a fondness, an affection. It wasn't that kind of love. It wasn't the agape love. But Jesus told him, feed my sheep. I've called you out of the fishing business. You're to be a shepherd pastor of my flock. And that final snapshot shows Peter's last fishing expedition. And he was totally surrendered to the will of God for his life. And you know, old Peter, the Bible tells us that he knew that his death was impending, and that he was going to be crucified, not in the same manner of Jesus, but upside down. He didn't want to be crucified the same way Jesus was. He didn't think he was worthy. The time came when old Peter left the walk of this life, but he had run a good race. He had fought a good fight. And he was ready to lay down his life and to receive the crown of life that God had prepared for those that love him. Oh, what a blessing it is when a person dies in the Lord. Like on Candid Camera, life catches us in all sorts of unexpected places, sets up all kinds of unusual situations, catches us, if you will, during our unguarded moments. The question before us is this: what will the snapshots of your life and mine reveal about us when all is said and done? Does it show our righteousness or unrighteousness? Does it show that we're children of God or that we've lived in sin? Hear me this morning. the snapshots of your past life, those that you do not want to be remembered when you stand before God, can be eliminated from your portfolio. All of us know something about digital cameras. With a digital camera, any unwanted snapshot can be removed. It can be erased. Isn't that good? Take a bad one, you don't want it, erase it. Well, the Lord Jesus has, in a sense, a digital camera. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it amazing that he can just wipe the slate clean? All the sins that you've ever committed, everything that you've ever done that was wrong, he can wipe it away. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, when you by faith say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You know, that's all you have to do. You don't have to go and do some magical feat. You don't have to bring money and lay it at his feet. You don't have to do anything other than come as a penitent, broken-hearted, wretched sinner and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want your forgiveness. I want your cleansing. I want to be a child of the King. What do you think he'll do? He'll forgive you. He'll wipe the slate clean, cast your sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness, not to be held against you anymore. All of our sins are gone. And we stand with white robes of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm glad for that picture that shows me at an altar in the old Central Avenue Free Will Baptist Church in Oklahoma City at 14 years of age. I'm glad it shows me there asking God to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. And you know what, when I asked him, I was so dumb about spiritual things, but I asked him because that's what the preacher said to do. Ask God to forgive you, he'll do it. I believed it. I asked him. And you know, he forgave me of my sins. And I don't know what happened, but I got up from there feeling clean, knowing that the Lord had worked a miracle, a surgical miracle of grace in my life. And I got up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now what he did for me, he'll do for you. And he's done that for many, many of you that are here this morning already. But if you cannot say that my sins have been erased by the blood of the Lamb, you can this morning if you'll come to Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.